The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 50, beginning with the fourth verse. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from Philippians chapter 2, beginning with the fifth verse. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, whom, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some of the Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loses his life and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a medical doctor named John who was flying transatlantic on a flight, and a boy lost consciousness on the flight, and the stewardess tried everything she could to rouse the boy and bring him back from his unconscious state. And finally she called out, was there a doctor on board? So John came up, figured out what was wrong, asked for a glass of orange juice, and gave it to the boy, and quote, miraculously, he recovered. He was just badly dehydrated. If John hadn't come to visit at that point, there may have been more severe consequences. We all need little visits in our lives. We're all in need of expertise, confrontation, encouragement, and perspective that we'll only find when somebody visits us with the resources we need. See, we have a danger that we become practical deists. A deist is one that believes that God created the world, and then he sat back and he watched it like we would watch a movie. He doesn't interact with the world. He doesn't participate in the world's events. He certainly never, quote, interrupts a person's life to directly act in it. Therefore, they don't pray and they don't believe in miracles and they don't believe in little visits from God. We should expect God to break into our universe and meet us with little visits. There's three reasons that God comes to visit. First of all, to test us. Second, to punish chronic sins. And three, to offer a blessing. Psalm 106 catalogs a whole history of rebellion against God. But the psalmist praises God and asks for a visit. The end of Psalm 106 says, remember me, O Lord, in your favor towards your people. Visit me with your salvation. The word salvation can also be translated as deliverance. He asks God to remember him. Remember is more than just recalling. Remembering means also to act. So you recall the event, but you also act as a result of it. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 15 says it perhaps best. Remember me and care for me. Remembering and acting go hand in hand. And sometimes we find ourselves in the need of deliverance. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. When we try to deliver ourselves, there's two problems. First of all, we forsake God, the source of all living water. We can't make it without God. On the surface, sure, a person can get by without God. But under the surface, deep down, a person cannot get by without God. We can try to double our efforts. That's the idea of digging your own cisterns, your own water pits, so to speak. The truth is we cannot find true fulfillment apart from God. We learn to try to rely on him. And by doing that, we confess the times that we've tried to be self-sufficient. I can do it myself. I'm a self-made man. We need to cast ourselves on God's mercy for help. Just like the people in the Bible, we need to lean on God. We need to resist the temptations to dig our own cisterns, to make life work without God. Years ago, I was complaining to a friend of mine about the way things were going in my life. And he put his hand up and he said, you only have one problem. You don't expect God to show up. He was right. Considering what I was complaining about at the moment, I wasn't expecting God to make a little visit or to show up. I had to acknowledge my inability to solve my own problems. Sometimes we all pray without expecting God to, quote, show up. Sometimes God shows up for deliverance. At the end of time, he will come to crush all rebellion and put an end to time itself. And Christ will be finally established as King of the world. The first advent, the first coming, he came as a suffering servant. He came in order to suffer for our sins so that we might experience eternal life through faith in him. The Jews expected an earthly king. They expected a deliverer from Rome. But in Christ's first coming, his first advent, he came to take care of sin. He was literally a man born to die. From his birth on, or his conception on, he knew that he would live 33 years and was born to die. But he was also born to reign. As I said at the second advent, his second coming, he'll establish himself as king and destroy all rebellion. We should be praying like John prayed in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Luke 19 is the Palm Sunday story, and today we celebrate Palm Sunday. And Jesus wept over Jerusalem when he came into the city that day because he knew that the Jews of that time were to be punished for not recognizing the time of God's visitation. The Bible is full of visitations by God, times that he interrupted people's lives by direct action. When the three angels came to see Abraham at the Oaks of Mamre to announce the birth of Isaac, or Samuel in the middle of the night when the Lord called out to him three times, Samuel, Samuel, and finally Samuel had to say, Lord, what do you want? Or Jacob in the middle of the night when he wrestled with the Lord. Or a New Testament example, when Saul was on the road to Damascus and God paid him a little visit in person. The visitations that we can expect are ones that affect our inner lives. Sometimes God interrupts our lives or injects himself directly in it, whether it's in a Bible verse, a story from the Bible itself, or a friend has a word to say that particularly hits the point, or a book that we read, God can use that to make his point as well. With his first visit, how do we respond to him when he offers forgiveness of sins and life eternal? After all, he offers eternal life. God visits us to demand our additional response to him. He may call us to greater obedience, greater sacrifice, and greater Christ-likeness. Try to say that word 10 times fast. We all need little visits from God. It's just not a thing that happened in the Bible. It's just not a historical thing that happened in the past. We all need little visits from God. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.